Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
Gotta keep reading, 'cause this book's gonna be a good book. 'Cause this book's gonna be a good book. 'Cause this book's gonna be a good, good book to read.
Good evening, everybody. Well, welcome to this special edition of That Novel. We have, let me see, I think he is just joining us. So we have author BT Urella that is just getting on the show. And hey, BT, thanks for calling in.
Hi, hello. My pleasure. I appreciate you guys having me.
Sorry to just throw you out right there. I'm going to do a little bit of introduction here. For those of you that are tuning in and you're on your computer, the chat room is open. And if you would like to chat and ask questions via the chat room, you will have to register either via Facebook, Twitter. I think they give you Tumblr as an option, or your email. That's the only way that you can send a message in the chat room is if you register for the show. And Donna, will you tell them how to do it, in those that are sitting in the chat room? Because I have no idea. I see a different screen. And so you have to scroll down, I think it's about halfway. I don't know. And then once you get in the chat room, there's some way to register. She's the expert. I don't even see it. It's totally different for me. If you would like to call in and ask a question, the guest phone number is 347-237-5553, 347-237-5553, and the Blog Talk people will walk you through that as when they stop talking to you. Once you call in, if you press the number 1, it will let me know that you want to come on the show. And I will be flipping back and forth between the chat room, the dashboard for the callers, and Facebook, because I get questions everywhere. So if you call in and I don't get to you right away, just be patient. I will come back to you. But thank you for this special show this evening. Again, usually That's Novels are on Wednesday nights, but we were great. We were appreciative to be able, where I was appreciative for you to take an hour of your time this evening to chat.
Of course.
So that, if y'all do not know, those of you that have not ever heard of BT Urella, I guess you can read, of course, his bio on the episode information. I'll just give you a brief little rundown here. So he is a war veteran and also a cover model / model and also an author. You have three
books, yeah. Three books out now, yeah. Three, four so come December 20th, yeah.
Close. We're close.
Yeah.
Really close there. So we'll chat about a few of those things. And I think there's also, well, I guess those of you that follow him on Facebook, I think I have watched briefly just a little bit of time. Are you still doing your, you call it bedtime stories or something when you
read?
Yeah,
yeah.
Are you still?
Well, it's bedtime stories on my personal page, and then it's Dirty Words on the R&E Author Fraternity. So I do two different segments on Thursday nights. One is at 8 o'clock, one is at 10 o'clock. And yeah, so it's kind of different, but bedtime stories is me reading my own work, and then Dirty Words is me reading other authors' work.
Oh, fun. And those are on, that's Thursdays? You said
yeah, that's Thursdays. Yep. Thursdays at 8 and 10.
Woo! That makes for a long night. Well, we do 8 to 10, or I do 8 to 10 on the show. It can be That it's exhilarating.
Oh, it's a very long night,
and
yeah.
It's also exhausting at the same time. You feel worn out after done reading for 2 hours.
Well, I was genius enough to schedule it an hour after, so it's 8 and 10, so I have an hour break in between. But that's because I run over a lot. But that little hour break is not good for me, because then I get to like the point where I'm ready for bed, and I'm like, well, no, I need to go and read again. So. But it's fun though. I love Thursdays. It's a lot of fun. I get to really interact with a lot of the readers and bloggers and authors, and some of my friends pop on there every now and then and give me shit. So it's or crap or whatever I'm allowed to say on here.
Yes, it's internet. Okay. So you're allowed to pretty much say whatever. I'm not syndicated, so I'm good.
Well, there we go.
You're free to say whatever. Yes,
that's
exactly.
Probably good for
I'm
me.
I'm not. Well, yeah. Yes, it's good. Well, I've had some of the authors I've had on here. Well, I had Kendall Gray on here early on in the show life, and one of her books has the F word over 500 times. So you can imagine the conversation.
I need to do that count and figure out where I stand, because I think I'm probably pretty close to that. It's very likely.
That's a
and
yes,
probably
you
like
have to,
far
less
words too.
Word search, you know, do one of those search for in your document and then see how it comes up.
Yeah.
Guess how many.
I know how to do it. I just don't know if it's good for me.
Well, you know, it'll be a problem when your editor says, you know.
Yeah, right.
You really have this word too many times.
One thing I take from your novel, you have terrible, terrible language.
Exactly. You need to probably find, there is a thesaurus, some sort, I forget what it's called, but there is a thesaurus for different words. You know, to use for different.
Well, see, I'm super stuck because I'm the type where I say, you know, who decided back in the day that word or these groupings of words cannot be said or written or anything, or else it's bad. So who decided that it would be a bad word? Because I never took part in that.
Exactly.
And I don't know why they decided that these awesome words, I mean, that are just great in every area of life, that they're bad. I don't like it. The F word particularly, that's my favorite, and it works pretty much with everything. And just like, you know, I didn't have a say in what would be bad, what would be good, and allowed to say in certain circumstances and not allowed to say in other circumstances. I don't like it.
Exactly. So, well, you know, in Europe, they
probably use it a little excessively because of that.
Where we, you know, where a lot of people from the U.S., you know, their ancestors came from Europe, they cuss like sailors all the time. It's no big deal. But here, I don't know. I often wondered that. How did it get from it's okay in everyday language, no big deal, and then to come here and you can't. It's like, don't.
Well, it's funny,
not
to get off on not to go off in an entirely different direction,
right.
But it is kind of funny. If you look at every aspect of life between Europeans and Americans, that's everything with them. Alcohol, sex, drugs, everything. They kind of are more open to all that. It's kind of integrated into their kind of society. And we're just still, I don't know, 20 years back from them. And it's like not even a big deal over there. So, you know, getting a porno when you're 14 isn't a huge deal because you're just so used to it. So it's kind of like, I don't know, it's just a totally different world in Europe than it is here. We're so far behind in terms of everything. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yep. The whole alcohol issue. Mm-hmm. No, it's fine. The whole alcohol issue. You know, you can drink when you're 16 legally in Europe, and then here, you know, it's like you wonder why the United States have so many alcoholics. Well, because it's such a you know, people want to do it.
But you tell somebody no for so long. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think that leads to a lot of it. I think, but yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah,
well, I was
definitely
stationed in Germany, so I got to experience a lot of it early on.
Oh, really? I have one of my girlfriends from growing up. She just retired. She and her husband were both stationed in Germany. I don't ask me where because I couldn't tell you. but she was over there the longest in Germany. She was in the Air Force. So wherever, I don't know, they have multiple Air Force stations, but that's where she was. Well, both she and her husband
yeah.
was in the Army, and she was, they're both in, they met together. They both worked in a hospital there. Oh. Anyway, so they still have their house in Germany. They built a house because they were going to be there forever. And then she
oh,
thought
wow.
it's time to retire. They came back to the U.S. Yeah.
And just the house is just kind of hanging out in Germany?
Yeah, just hanging out. I don't know if I'm assuming they might have rented it to somebody that's just waiting for them.
Okay.
Both of her children were born there. I don't know. It's great. She, you know, I asked if her kids had culture shock when they came back home because they hadn't been
I can
to
only
the U.S.
imagine.
A lot. Yeah. So, like.
Well, especially as kids, you know. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they moved to Delaware, of all places, when they came. I guess that's close enough to German climate with the snow and stuff, but hello? Anyway.
I don't know, though. I mean,
we're
German winters.
Southern.
Yeah, you go ahead. Take Yeah, no, I can't. German winters were brutal. They were unlike anything I experienced here.
It's cold. I can't imagine.
I'm serious.
This is, yeah. She would go skiing in the Alps, and I'm just like, you are crazy. What is wrong with you? It's cold. Why are you skiing?
Well,
you
bundle up for that stuff. But.
She loved it. Yes. It might be a Bob Nelson movie. But I would love, that's on my bucket list of places to visit, though, is to actually see Germany, but I won't go in the winter. No.
not a good idea anyways. Anywhere in Europe yeah. should be, I feel like, yeah, spring, 100%.
Yeah, I want to go to Holland and see the tulip fields. And that was another one of my favorite things she would post. They would go to Holland every year for when they had, I guess they have a tulip festival. And she would take, they would go to the same place every year, and she would take oodles of pictures of all of these different tulips. And I would just, you know, scroll through the wall, drooling over these flowers. I love tulips, and they're so pretty. They have all those different colors. Anyway, and people are probably like, what has this got to do with books? But nothing. But squirrel.
I mean, something.
Right?
Could be a book about tulips.
Exactly.
Well,
you can use tulips. Exactly. There's got to be a book with tulips in it. I'm sure somebody has read it. Yeah, that was always my favorite. I loved seeing her pictures from Europe and her travels around there. It's been a long time since I've been to Europe, and I haven't been to Holland or Germany, so it's definitely on the list. Did you have a favorite country that you visited while you were there? You probably didn't get much travel time, but
I didn't get a whole lot of travel time, honestly. We trained a whole lot, but when we could travel, we did. And Switzerland for me was just it's hard to top that memory. I've had equal memories, but it's hard to top that one just because it was a military trip. It's all single soldiers. So there's about 40 of us, and we all went to Interlaken in Switzerland and just, I mean, wreaked havoc in a good way. We didn't cause any chaos or break anything, but we just had a great time, and it was one of those memories. But beyond that, just the aesthetics of it all. The Alps and the mountains around there, and the hospitality. Switzerland was incredible, incredible.
You know what I love most about the Alps is that they. I've been to Geneva, and that town, that's just beautiful. The mountains, and then the separation with the lake. But what was mm-hmm. interesting to me is the red roof houses, all of them. It seems like just driving, even riding through the Alps, they all had red roofs. I mean, I'm assuming that's it, that you can find them in a snowstorm.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hello, there's a red roof here. Just find my red roof over here. It's about a mile over that way.
Yeah, I imagine that's probably how it is. Luckily, we were not traveling during winter, but.
Yes, that is cold. Cold. Well, I was there in the summer. I was there in July, but it was still, I mean, it was relatively nice, but, you know, no snow or anything, thankfully, at that point.
Yeah.
Red roof, that's what I remember most about. I won't tell you how many years ago, because it was a long time, but that means I'm dating myself. Anyhow, before I miss this, because I'm sure the chat room is filling up, so I'm sure that I will skip over this, but and I'm going to butcher her name. Kaylin Sims, she says, hey, BT, and then Jackie Ziegler says that Switzerland is her dream vacation.
Yeah.
It is a pretty place. Pretty, pretty. Okay, so I do have to ask this question because I admire his work, and I saw your photo that he posted this weekend. How was it shooting with Michael Stokes?
In all honesty, I can't, you know, words aren't even going to express what he's meant to me. I'm so confused. You're laughing and I'm talking.
He's amazing. I just think it would just be.
Oh yeah. No, I mean, he's incredible. He gave me kind of the career that I have now, I wouldn't have without him. But beyond that, just the kind of person he is and how he treats his art, that's what it's all about at the end of the day. And he is an artist. So it's honestly been a blessing to be able to see him work, to be able to work with him and then see the process that he takes. It's surreal. You know, an amazing cook or an incredible screenwriter, you know, they're different from other people. And that's kind of how Michael Stokes is with photography. He goes beyond what I think, you know, normal people, like, quote unquote, normal people could comprehend, just because that's his forte. That's what he's good at. And so for me, it's been awesome. I always love it. It's funny because I didn't even know he was releasing that this weekend. He did share that with me months ago, and I was like, I love this. This is great. He's like, oh yeah, it's going in one of the books. And then he shared it over the weekend and, you know, got kind of brought back up. But it just reminds me how fun it is to work with him. And it's always, we're laughing pretty much half the time.
Just admire his work. He just creates such art with his camera, and some of his stuff is very different, but his expression through his photos is amazing. I just would probably be mute if I saw him, you know. His presence, you know, is just one of those fan kind of moments. He just takes amazing, amazing, amazing photos.
In all honesty, if he weren't a good friend of mine, I would have that same response, only because just I know how his mind works, and it's really a beautiful thing. He is such a creative genius, and I agree with you. It's one of a kind for sure. And I think he fights for those photos. I mean, we fought for those photos. Those are not very fond. They're fond memories, but they're not fond memories for me when I think of shooting with Michael Stokes. And that has nothing to do with him. It just has to do with the amount of work we put into each shot. So for those people that have, brutalize the name, Always Loyal. For those that have Always Loyal, some of the front shots, well, actually both the front shots, one of them is me hanging from ropes. The other one is me on a beach, just standing there. Both those shots were incredibly difficult. The one hanging from the ropes, I probably hung from that rope 100 times. And we took about 5 shots before I had to let myself down and get back up, just because it was just so difficult to hold myself up like that. And then the beach one, it was Salton Sea. And Salton Sea is known for the amount of salt in the lake that's there. And then the fish die and the fish get blown up onto the sand. And then it was like June, so it was 110 degrees and the fish really stank. And so we earned it. And that's kind of what it is about Michael, is when he has something in his head, a vision, you go with it and you trudge through the shit that you need to get there. But then you kind of see the final product and you're like, wow, Michael, that's what you were saying. So it's just an awesome, not to go off on a tangent about Michael, but I have a lot of respect for the man and his talent, and could talk days about just being able to be a part of it, because it is just that awe-inspiring.
Yes, for sure. I mean, just being on this end of it, where you get to look at the after, I can imagine. I think I saw the one with the rope not too long ago, or one similar, where it's kind of almost like a Jesus pose. Was that you in that one?
That was me.
Wrist.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was trying to remember. What's that? Did I have that? Did I see that? Well, so anyway, I even said this to Golden. I said, I wonder how many times they had to do this. It has to be, such strong.
My arms
arms to hold this.
I only imagine that the shot that we ended up getting from that was one of the final ones, because I was just that, vascular at that point, because I'd done it so many times and my muscles were pretty much screaming at me to stop. And so I can only imagine. But yeah, no, it was worth it though. That's kind of one of those things with working with him. You do put in that intense work, really intense work. And when you see the after effects, you're just like, wow. All right, Michael, I trust you. Let's do this thing again in like 6 months.
Exactly. I have to work on my upper body strength. I've never been able to bench press a bar without weights on it. I can't imagine even just holding myself up like that with ropes. Ugh. Yeah. Yes, everybody is agreeing with us in the chat room that on the for the show that's a beautiful picture. It's fantastic. It's great. Okay, so your first shoot with him led to more modeling stuff, and you your first book cover. Who was the first author to?
So kind of a funny little situation. The first cover I was ever on was Sinful by Lexi Buchanan. And that was shot with Eric Battershill. But the first one I actually ever shot, it came out right after Sinful, was with Randy Sewell, and it was for the Fighter's Block, which is Haley Quinn. So we did that. Yeah. So that was, I kind of did those both at about the same time, and then. Yeah, so it kind of went from there. The funny thing is, though, before I even had a shoot, I had signed up for shoots before, but I hadn't done any. Kirby K.L. Grayson reached out to me about the storyline that she had, which ended up being A Lover's Lament. And so we had already set up by January, when I did both those shoots, I had already started kind of working the story out with Kirby or K.L., which, so it was pretty awesome. Mm-hmm. Everything kind of hit at once after Michael put out the photos, and I went from there.
And the rest is history, as they like to say. So that's really cool. It's been, I guess that's been really, really quick. Well, it's 2 years.
2 years
almost.
About. Yeah.
That's, do you know how many covers you've been on since then?
I do 100%. I know each cover that I've been on, but it's hard to keep track of the number. I think it's about 32, but each one means enormous amounts to me to be able to represent 27. Kara says, beautiful thing about having a smartphone. So I've been on 27. It just popped up on my screen. But, you know, it's just been an amazing ride. You know, each photographer is different, and they bring out different moods. And I've loved working with each one of them so much. And then for each author that chooses me to represent their work, and I always make this known, but it's a complete honor. Obviously, you know, being an author, it's not an easy thing to put a book together. So when you do choose someone to represent your work, I mean, it's a big deal. So, yeah, it's been a crazy ride since 2014. December 2014 is when I shot.
Like a roller coaster, except for it's going up. keep climbing.
Yeah.
And so that, of course,
awesome.
Allowed or put you into the writing. Have you always aspired to be a writer?
Yeah, see, so that's kind of the funny thing about me is everyone – well, not everyone, but the majority of the people on my social media came to know me through the modeling, because I shot with Michael and then started doing the romance covers and stuff. And then it came out with my first book with Kale Crayson about 10 months later, because we were working on it throughout that time. But, you know, everyone always thought, okay, so he started as a romance cover model and then decided, hey, you know, it'd be smart if I jumped into writing. But, that's just not how it is. For me, I was actually, University of Tampa is the school I've been going to. That's where I'm getting my degree from. It's in creative writing, and it was in creative writing before I ever took a photo, before I ever knew who Michael Stokes was. I was going to University of Tampa to be a writer. I had no friggin' clue where I was going to go with it or what I was going to do with it. It's actually kind of a funny story I'll get through quickly, but I started out with finance when I first started school after the Army. Because that's always what I heard, you know, it's a great, you know, you'll get a job instantly, it'll be awesome. So that's what I went into, and I hated it. Absolutely hated it. It just wasn't for me. I respect all those people that can get through it, but for me, it was just not good. And writing is one of those things, you know. I remember back in fifth grade, just my entire life pretty much, just writing and writing and writing, and always being drawn to that. And then reading, of course, too. Stephen King actually says, if you're not a writer unless you're a reader. And that's 100% true. That they come hand in hand. And I don't know. It's just, it was amazing. It's awesome that life has taken me down this path. And I was lucky to have found the romance community, because I truly do. I never thought about writing in romance before. And I was lucky enough to have shot with Michael and then started doing romance covers and then found a romance author who wanted to write with me. And then so on and so forth. But I was able to find myself in this completely different genre that I never found myself in, that I love. And so it's just been a cool little, like you said, a roller coaster out of nowhere.
Yeah. Yeah. What's your favorite genre to read?
Well, so, I mean, most people, if they've read my books or they follow me on Facebook, they know Stephen King's my number one. He's, I'm a bit of an addict to his books, his writing style. It's just, I've never not been captured by a Stephen King book. So he's my number one. But since finding the romance genre, when I became, the romance cover model, Renee Carlino really stuck out with me, and Harper Sloan, obviously. I was on one of her covers, but also just her writing style. Heidi McLaughlin, just storytellers. You know, I found kind of both indie and kind of more prominent within our industry authors who are incredibly talented. So I'm all over the board. One of my kind of unknown passions is like post-apocalyptic novels. So like World War Z is one of my favorites, One Day After, stuff like that. So I'm all over the place. I just like a good read.
I, one of the authors that I represent writes dark, well, thrill. She writes thrillers, psychological thrillers. She loves Stephen King too. Tell her they ought to be best friends because they have the same twisted mind.
Mm-hmm.
So, granted,
you know what?
She doesn't like clowns. She's not a fan.
Yeah, and see, a lot of it for me, I think a lot of people think of Stephen King, when you haven't read a lot of him, you have this kind of public perception of who he is. And for me, it's not even the gruesome scenes. It's not the crazy stuff he thinks of. It's not it's his writing style. For me, I connect with him on a different level through his writing. and I'm able to see where he's going with it. I don't know. It's a beautiful thing. I think as a reader, I think a lot of the people probably listening are readers. You know exactly what I'm talking about. But it's that connection that an author has with you that it just can't be replicated. It's just, it feels like you and the book, this crazy, you know, thing of paper in your hands can motivate you and inspire you, and just it's a beautiful thing. And that's what I found through a lot of Stephen King novels. He's just the one that, you know, takes precedence, but there's so many great authors out there. It's awesome. I think it's social media, all that has been a great advance for all of us to be able to get out there and get our words out there. And, you know, it's just cool. It's cool to see it all.
Yes, for sure. It's so much to read, so little time.
I know,
right? I come up against as a reviewer. It's so hard for me. I still buy books for myself to read, but Lord only knows when I'll get a chance to do that.
Yeah.
The other things to read for the blog, much less, you know, read for myself. That's the hard part, is finding time to read for me. Not that I don't read review stuff that I like to read, but you know what I'm saying? Like stuff that I haven't signed up for, that I don't quote unquote have to read kind of thing. And I push myself to read a lot for the blog, not as much as I did the first year I started, but it's still, I'm over 150 some odd this year already, which is not anywhere what I used to do, but it's still a lot for everything that we have going on. Kind of crazy, but yes.
Readers like us end up avoiding Barnes & Noble and Amazon because it's bad news. I'm the same way. I mean, I surround myself with books, and my TBR is quite lengthy. I'm sure it's minuscule compared to a lot of people listening, but I'm the same way. I love books, so you know, it's a beautiful thing to have them surrounding you, and you get to see them all. I go in my office, I see them all on my bookshelves. Go in my room, see them all on my dresser. I love it. I think it's a beautiful little community that we have, and it's cool just all the unique differences between us all. As I'm looking on the top of my dresser at all my books,
they're seeing it the
same. Well, that's what I mean is I've got the widest variety of books.
I completely understand that. Mine runs from paranormal to YA. You know, I have that whole, you know, with erotica and BDSM, all that kind of stuff in the middle. Suspense and paranormal, they're my favorites to read. And I have a lot of those, but, you know, I do have some YA, so I get it. It's a array. It's like a rainbow. You have a lot of different colors.
Yeah, you got to.
Not even just covers, but different. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I don't get it when people say, I did only read contemporary romance. I'm like, what?
No.
How do you stick with, I can't. Mm-mm, I can't do that.
No. I think most people probably switch it up, but.
Okay, we have some questions. I am neglecting the chat room. So let's see. Again, I'm going to butcher her name, so please forgive me. She might need to have a phonetic spelling in the chat room. Kaylin? Oh, sorry. So she says she and Shota Rose. Oh, Kaylin. Okay, thank you. She and Shota Rose. I don't know if you know Shota. She, speaking of people that write different stuff, she has lots of different things she writes. They were chatting on Facebook about some of turning Nishota's books into movies, and they agreed that you should take acting lessons and star as one of her characters in the movie if it happens. And so she wants to know what you think about acting. Add another thing to your list.
Well, no. I mean, in all honesty, we can throw that down with, like, music. It's one of the things that I love. I have a passion for. God instilled it in me from a very young age. I do love it. I'm just not good at it. And I think we do need to come to a point in our lives where we realize, okay, this is what I'm good at. This is what I like to do. And sometimes those don't always meet. And that's kind of acting for me. I did try. I've taken acting lessons and all that. It's just not there. I'm better on the in the background, kind of, you know, writing and directing, like doing that kind of stuff. But I would love to. I think at one point in my life, it will be a goal of mine just to play, to do like one play, community theater, something like that, just to say I did it. But no, I don't ever see that being anything substantial in my life, unfortunately. I do love it and I respect it. People like Kevin Spacey, you know, and Edward Norton, and just people that can really lose themselves in acting. There's nothing I respect, you know, there's a lot of things I respect equally, but there's nothing I respect more than that, the ability to be able to do that. And I wish I could. I just, it's not there. Nope.
They make it look so easy, for sure.
They do. They do. They do. And you, if you think about it in the context of being an actor, right? So you're seeing him do this breakdown scene. I think at this point in time, Heath Ledger, you know, being Joker. And the only thing he sees across from him are a gazillion other people, directors, producers, camera people, you know, everybody. And he's able to lose himself in that way and create this character that is just so memorable. That to me is it's a beautiful art. Everything in the art world I respect, but acting wise, that's a beautiful thing for somebody to be able to do. So I think it's awesome. I wish I could, but no, I'm gonna have to pass on that.
It's a whole different world. I mean, the modeling is different. I don't know about you. I did some when I was younger. I modeled for about 4 years, and I was always felt like I was a different person when I was able to get behind the camera and on the runway and all that kind of stuff. So it was like a whole different change in my personality, I suppose. But
yeah.
I can't remember what I did yesterday, much less remember a whole script full of lines, you know, and they don't typically do stuff in order. You'll be on like scene 13 one day and 2 the next, and then, you know, it's different.
Yeah. You're dying in one scene and you're like getting married in another. Yeah,
exactly. It's never the same. Yeah. So it's hard. I admire that they're able to do that kind of stuff. And, you know, it's, she says, dang it. Yeah. It's, you know, like I watch, I don't know if you know Drew Lady, another cover model. I don't know if y'all have met, but he is so very animated. You know, he's definitely got that whole actor persona down. I'm just kind of like, I don't know how. And he changes himself just, you know, lickety split. I just go, no, I get it. It's
no.
Too much for that kind of stuff. Okay, so we have a couple more questions in here. And then I have, all right, some more to go. We have 20 minutes left. Oh, geez. Okay. Jackie would like to know more about vet sports. So we haven't even kind of really talked about vet sports, or I haven't even addressed the charities, but so you and a couple of your friends, other combat veterans, wounded, started vet sports, and it's based out of Tampa. Is that where it is?
Yeah, so just to give a brief rundown, so I had a very difficult transition. Got out of the military after losing my leg in combat, had a very difficult transition, and then wanted to change that. So through wanting to do that, I ended up meeting two other combat wounded veterans who were seeking to do the same thing. And that, we created Vet Sports. Vet Sports was started in 2012. We are completely on the East Coast now. We're as far west as Kyleen, Texas. But what we are is we kind of consider ourselves like the 21st century American Legion. So we're a group in the communities where veterans are transitioning back into from active duty service. We're already within those communities with team sports and community involvement. So we do a lot of community service, and then we play, you know, weekly, biweekly, it all depends, but on where the group, where the club is. But volleyball, beach volleyball, softball, mud runs, I mean, pretty much any athletic event you can think of. And it's pretty much our way of bringing veterans together, enabling them to you know, get together, break those barriers to communication, and then also to find their new path. Because a lot of it is, you know, when you get injured, when you transition, whether you're injured or not, when you transition as a veteran, you're like, what's next? So where do I go from here?
Mm-hmm.
And your focus is solely on yourself. And when you take the focus from yourself and you put it onto others who are dealing with things you can't even imagine, it just creates complete change within people in general. But we found within vet sports, it creates a lot of change within veterans who are transitioning and having a difficult time. And it just shows them that there's another way, that there's other people that are struggling too. And it reminds them that they're not the only ones around, that they're not the only ones struggling. And so, as I said, we were founded in 2012. We've grown a lot since then. We've done a lot since then. It's just been a really incredible ride to be able to see it grow from its infancy to now.
That's awesome. That's very awesome. To go along with that, Kayleen says that she and her husband are both veterans and they want to bring it to Oregon, where they live. Any suggestions? Because they know combat vets here who really need it.
The main suggestion is to reach out through our website at vetsports.org and to send an email that way. Tell us about your idea. We'll 100% work with you. Our number one priority is growing. Actually, I should say our number two priority is growth. Our number one priority is taking care of the clubs that we currently have. But we always want to grow. Our 100% our 10-year goal is to be helping all 50 states. So I encourage anybody that's in another community that maybe doesn't have vet sports, that knows a lot of veterans, that has a big veterans presence, to reach out to our on our website, vetsports.org. It's the talk at vetsports.org. And to reach out to us and let us know kind of your ideas, and we 100% always work with people from there. That's how we grow, because we always need. We're 100% volunteer organization. We don't pay anyone to work for us, and we raise all our money grassroots. So we need dedicated veterans in new communities that want a service like VetSports provides to take the lead and to go from there. So. Please just reach out to us. Let us know what your ideas are. We are more than happy to help see it come to fruition.
Awesome. She says she will try again. She sent one, but she hadn't heard back, so she will try it again. I kind of envision in my mind is a combination. Vet Sports is a combination of American Legion / this sounds horrible, like Olympics. I guess, right? Because
kind of, yeah. I mean, more or less, you know, you take the American Legion concept. The American Legion concept is to bring veterans together, to give them a place where they can come together and be together. And from there, that's where growth is found. And we do that, the same exact thing they're doing, but we do it through sports. So every week we'll play softball. We'll play in a weekly softball league. Take Tampa, for instance. Tampa, we have two male softball leagues and then one co-ed softball league. And then from there, we have a bunch of other athletic events we do throughout the year. But it's just a way to bring veterans together so that from there, we're not only working together as a team again, you're a part of a bigger cause than yourself, but then you're also finding a way for you to get past wherever you are. Because a lot of people transition and don't know what they want to do. So by taking the lead with Vet Sports and the organization and volunteering, it creates a positive impact on a lot of the people that we are involved with.
Let's see here. We have about 15 minutes left, and I have a couple of questions that I want to ask.
Mm-hmm.
And then there is also a lady in here that has, her name is Britt, and she says, is there a book that you're most proud of at this point in your writing career?
Oh, like picking that's the your hardest favorite one kid. To answer. Yeah, no, it is. It is. That's a, it's a perfect, yeah, no, that's how it is. I'm most, obviously most proud of Into the Nothing because it was the first one that I finished on my own. But it's so hard. Yeah, I can't answer it because I'm equally proud of both A Lover's Lament and Wicked Little Words for totally different reasons. I'm proud of them both because they express something that it causes an impact on other people, whether it be bad or good, which I think depends on the book. But they both, they're just, I put my entire heart and soul into both of them. So I'm super proud of them for different reasons. So yeah, pretty much we get back to the beginning of this conversation, which is, it's like picking one of your kids. Can't do it. I love them all for different reasons.
And then you have another book that's releasing December 20th.
Yep. So I have,
what's it called?
Yeah, it's Into the Blood. So I have what's called the Broken Outlaw series. That's my first solo novel, was Into the Nothing. I'm doing a re-release of that on December 1st. And that will be, it will be a simple update for those that own it on Kindle. For those that don't, it'll be put on Kindle Unlimited and at 99 cents on Amazon. And it has a few changes, a few additions, and it has three chapters of my next book, which is Into the Blood, which you were talking about. That's coming out December 20th. So super excited about that. I've got a lot of new characters I'm introducing in the Broken Outlaw series. And so trying to get Into the Nothing into people's hands, allow them to read it, get acquainted with the series. And then, yeah, like you said, December 20th, I will be releasing Into the Blood. So super looking forward to that. And then December 19th, also, I have to add, now that I'm speaking about it, but the New Year's Eve anthology, Alphas and Fairy Tales. It is a 10K short story. 16 different authors. I'm writing one of the short stories, and it's never before seen. They're all originals. So that week's going to be awesome. So coming out with both of those. Hope everyone checks it out.
That's lots of hair pulling to have all those releases all at one time.
Well, luckily pretty much Amazon both of them are done. I'm on edits on one of them, but they're pretty much done. So, relief.
You have a couple of your readers that have pre-ordered the anthology. They're commenting in the chat room. Okay, so we have 12 minutes. It's like countdown. That's, an hour is never long enough. I feel like so I never get enough time to ask questions. Well, at least it seems like, because I always think of a million after the fact. I'm like, dang, I should have asked. So I hear that Jackie, okay, if I have time, I'll ask about that. I hear your 2017 is a little busy with lots of travel. You have lots of, I've been nagging Kara about having you to come sign at our signing. But so anyway, she said that your calendar for next year is really, really busy. So where can people find you in 2017?
Oh my God. You just asked me a crazy question. They can honestly go to BTurella. Well, BTurella.com /schedule will have my entire 2017 schedule. We are still working it, but most of those dates are 100%. And I'll be all over. I'm doing a handful of events that are ones I did last year that I absolutely loved. Talk Books is one of them. We have PenCon. There's a bunch that I'm doing that I did last year. And then there's some new ones as well. I've been trying. What I intend to do is to reach as many states as I can when I do the signings. Book Splash, PolyCon. So anyways, I I try to hit as many states as I can. I know we're hitting a couple of new states next year, which is awesome. So, yeah, I mean, people can check it out at btiarella.com/schedule. Know that it's not finalized, but it is pretty much done, pretty much full.
Oh, Cam. Anyway, sorry. Well, Authors in the City is the one that I host and co-founded with a couple of other ladies who are authors. And that's in March in North Carolina. We were in sort of in your neck of the woods this past year, but you were unable to attend. This year we were in March. We were in Orlando. We travel. And
we have this one coming up.
Yeah, it's in Raleigh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
March 11th.
Yeah. No, so, well, that's on my personal calendar.
Woo-hoo!
I think we were looking into that. Yeah, if you guys have an opening, no, I'm good for it, I think. I have to obviously check with Kara or Kat, but I think I'm open for that one. Anyways.
That's awesome. Yes, I'll put Kara right
yeah.
on that.
Yeah, March 11th, Raleigh, we're good. Yeah, reach out to Kara, we're good.
Yeah. Yay! And then she has to fly down. She has to come. She has to come. That's part of the...
I'm pretty sure you won't have to twist her arm. It depends if it's during school or not, but she may be sick over that week.
Right, exactly. She has to skip. Skip school, Kara.
Laryngitis, yeah.
School.
Hey, why not?
Yes, exactly. It's the beginning, kind of the second week in March. Usually, aren't they on spring break around that time?
I think you screwed. Yeah. Yeah, it's in that echo of the woods. I think it's a couple weeks from then. Yeah. But I'm sure she'll figure something out. I don't think we should put it out there for the public to hear, though, because I'm sure she's scheming right now. She's going to be like, I have laryngitis, and these people are talking about it.
Exactly.
Talking about
exactly.
me being
Just
sick in March 2017.
Oh, goodness. Exactly. We're
anyways,
we're
I know we have a shit ton
already.
Of questions. I feel bad.
Yes,
Eight
yes,
minutes.
Yes.
If you want to shoot me shoot me some quick ones, I'll get it out as quick as possible.
Okay. Jackie wants to know what's next on the Christmas movie list. And then this one is going to make me turn 5 shades, 10, 20 shades of red. But I can't believe I'm going to ask this question. Kaylin wants to know if you sleep in the nude or not.
I do not sleep in the nude. It's one of those weird things. I don't know if there's other people out there who are like me, but it feels weird to me. I've never done it in my life. So I've done it. I can't say that I haven't, but when I do it, it doesn't feel right. So no, I'm a boxer guy. As in next Christmas movie list, I honestly don't know. It's all kind of up in the air. I think I'm going to watch Trading Christmases. If anyone's seen it, it's a Hallmark movie. Awesome movie. I think that's going to be the start of it, but I've got 25 movies to watch. So I'm going to decide between them.
What's your favorite?
Elf or Christmas Vacation. Or Bad
National
Santa.
National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Yep. Oh, yeah. The one and only.
See, I was just trying to judge, like, if you really meant that one or not. Because when you were talking about Heath Ledger as the Joker, my Joker, this is really bad. I'm totally dating myself. My Joker is Jack Nicholson. You know,
he's my Joker too. You know, see, but I grew up on that too, and he was my Joker too. I think they're just different generations of Jokers. Because trust me, I don't downplay that at all. I grew up on that movie, and Jack Nicholson as Joker was like my childhood. So it wasn't easy for me to accept another Joker, but I think he nailed it to the point where you could be like, you know, I can see both sides. You got kind of the quirky one, and they're just different, like, universes, kind of, in my eyes. But I love them both equally.
Yes.
Trust me, I don't disregard Nicholson's Joker. It's one of my favorites. But I think it was beautiful what Heath Ledger was able to do with it.
Yes, just like a totally different. He,
oh, totally
not like
different.
It's an extreme.
Yeah.
I mean, it is an extreme, but just way far past what anybody expected. I think.
Well, in reality, it was more realistic. And so how I view the early Batman is more like a comic book. And how I view these newer ones is more, I mean, it's a thriller. It's a legitimate movie that you're getting tied into and emotionally invested in and stuff like that. Whereas the other ones, you know, they were great and I loved them and they had the darker elements and stuff, but there was kind of that comic book side to it. And you don't really see that with the new Joker. As I waste more of the time for questions. You can't have me on a show where I talk freely. This is what happens.
That's okay. Right. Well, it does go over a little bit, but if they're listening live, it cuts them off. So, but they can hear afterwards. We have 4 minutes left, but if they go back
well,
and listen to the
works.
Archived version, they can hear the little bit. I think we have an extra 30 minutes or something afterwards. But anyway, I don't know. And then it'll cut off. Kaylin wants to know what your favorite, who your favorite superhero is. Yeah. Who's your favorite?
Batman,
superhero?
All the way. Batman. Wins it.
Okay, so now here bears the question. Which Batman? Who's your Batman?
See, that's one I can't really answer. It's Batman himself. It's not really any particular actor because I like them all for different reasons. So here's my difficult little line. And, of course, I have to drag every question on. But Batman Forever, which is, I think, the worst Batman, Val Kilmer. Were my favorite villains. Tommy Lee Jones is Two-Face, and then you have Jim Carrey as Riddler, which I friggin' loved. And so that was probably one of my favorite movies from it. But then I grew up on the Michael Keaton Batman, and so that's what I always knew. And then, of course, you have the silly little George Clooney Batmans. I think at the end of the day, the only Batman that ever felt like Batman to me was Christian Bale. Just in terms of who the character truly is, it's Christian Bale.
Mm-hmm. He did do a very good job with that.
Yeah, he did the moody and brooding. And that's.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the sharpness of his face just kind of makes it. Of course, Donna is over here screaming, Adam Lee. Mm-mm.
You can't count that shit. I mean, he was great and all, but that doesn't count. Totally different fucking generation there.
Right.
It just, that's how it is. You can't, you can't put the two in the same category. You just can't.
Oh my gosh. Now my friends are giving me a hard time about the follow-up questions. The boxers in brief. Anyway, y'all quit. Still trying to stop blushing here. Anyway, it gives me such a hard time because I just,
let it happen.
I know, it's so bad. It's my conservative upbringing. I'm just like, oh, God. So Jackie says, tell us more on the 222 challenge. Hashtag 222.
Yeah, so it's 22 for 222 challenge. Intriguing start. Reggie Dianqing, R+M Photography, started doing the 22 push-ups for 22-day challenge. And he challenged me, so I started doing them on my personal page. And then through doing them at one of my author signings, I received a Missouri KIA veteran shirt. So it listed every name of every Missouri veteran who lost their life in OAF, OEF. So move me. So I kind of just, and just, you know, being me and thinking way too much. I was like, you know, I really want to not only honor my Missourians who lost their life, you know, overseas. That could have easily been me, but I want to continue on this awareness campaign with the, you know, 22 push-up challenge because it means a lot to me. For one, it's mental health awareness, but for another, it's, you know, veteran suicide prevention. So kind of, you know, evolved into the idea of screw it. Let me get on Facebook Live for 222 straight days and do push-ups and honor one of my fellow men or women who have given their life for this country, who are from Missouri. That's kind of where I was born, and we're on day 62 tomorrow. So it's been good, man. It's been unreal because I thought it was I genuinely thought it was going to be taken differently, and everyone has been just so great with it all. So it's been great to be able to raise awareness for it and to bring attention to these veterans, well, these military members who gave their lives for this country who may otherwise go unnoticed. So it's been an awesome challenge.
Most definitely. That's amazing. Jackie says that today's dedication was very touching.
Yeah.
Kaylin says, after BT finishes, can he do pull-ups next?
I don't think so. 22 pull-ups, I think I'm you know, just count me out on that one. I'd make it one day and then just call it quits.
That's hard. That's, yeah. 22 sit-ups. Well.
That's not fun either.
She says, 22 sit-ups. No, but it's probably a little bit easier than, well, I mean, but, well, you know, it's exercise to me is should be just a four-letter word anyway.
Yeah.
Not my thing.
Pretty much what it is. But, yeah. I don't think it's anybody's real thing. You know, you kind of gotta find yourself there. Just keep doing it until you eventually, you know, quote unquote, like it. I still don't believe anyone that says they enjoy it. They're lying to everyone and themselves. No one does. It's terrible.
Yeah. No, thanks. No, thanks. And even, I mean, I'm sure you're used to a much more rigorous, hello, Stephanie, can you talk? With the military, you know, I'm assuming that they still have a pretty rigorous regimen for their, so I guess you just keep on, can relax a little bit. Don't have to be military style in the
department. I mean, all kind of depends to which unit and all that.
Well, it is 2 minutes after 9, and I don't want to hold you up, but I do want to say, again, thank you so much for joining me this evening, and people crack me up. Okay, I'll finish this, and then I'll read you what she said. Much success to you on your releases next month. I can't believe it's like 2 days, and it'll be December. And if you want to come back and join me again, I would love to have you. Let's see. And Kaylin says she loved it when you did 66 the other day, and just before you finished, you paused and let out the sexiest, and then she has beep, 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 I ever heard. I don't know what it was that you said or did, but anyway.
I'll have to investigate. Sounds good.
I can see what it was. Oh, goodness. Well, again, thank you. I appreciate your time.
And, yeah, I appreciate your time
for
as
sure.
Well.
I will be getting, I'll be harassing Kara to see what we can get it on your calendar for Raleigh.
Sounds Yay. Great. Yeah, well, thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a good one.
You too.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Tomorrow's episode has BT's co-writer on the show, so that will be tomorrow night. So we have Stevie Cole and Monica Robinson tomorrow from 8 to 10 Eastern Time. Hope y'all have a great evening. Thanks for joining me. Bye-bye.